السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we have been discussing the beginning verses of Surah Mu'minun, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving the sifats of those who are the true mu'mins, the true believers, who will eventually succeed, those who will get success in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat, and everlasting success in Jannat. So we have discussed at length many of those issues with regards to what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, that in the salat they are khashi'un, they have humility in the salat, they have khushu in the salat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about them as people who reject, who shun, who turn away from all vain talk, vain action, vain deeds. Those who are active in their giving of zakat or the purification of their souls, they make tazkiyah of their qulub. Those who abstain from any kind of sexual relationship except with their wives or those whom their right hands possess, to which there is a meaning and detail. And then we were discussing that with regards to the amanat, the trust and the promises, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that these believers, these people who are mu'minun, they guard their trusts and their promises. They faithfully guard their trusts and their promises. So we have discussed many issues with regards to this aspect of trust and also promise. But the last that we discussed was the promises. So I mentioned to you that it is not just what we understand by trust and promise. It has a very wide application and a very wide meaning. Nevertheless, before I proceed with that, we all are aware and we all know very well that America and whoever he can find or it can find as its allies are going to bomb Iraq. That is their goal, that is their motive. So it is expected that whenever these type of things are imminent, then we should be giving a very powerful talk, mobilizing the ummah, conscientizing the ummah, and so many kinds of things are said. Brothers, we have to take a stock of ourselves, that whenever these type of problems take place in the world, then what should be our reaction? Indeed, all these things are in their own places acceptable and in fact sometimes necessary. That there should be some protest, there should be some agitation, there should be some faxes sent, there should be some emails sent, there should be some assistance and help given to those that are actively participating in the jihad or those that are suffering because of those evil actions of those enemies of Islam. All that is in its place, and we cannot deny that they are beneficial to a certain extent. But we have to take a stock of our own lives and our actions and see that what benefit did we achieve or where did we reach with all these type of agitations, protests, marches and all the other things that we did. Where did it take us? How much of effect did it have on those powers that are carrying out these type of evil actions, these type of bombings and these type of tortures? How much has it had an effect upon them? Now if we have to look at what is happening in Palestine, we can see that up till now with everything that has been done. And included in that is also our du'as and our yasin khatams and our zikrs and our tilawat and everything that we are doing. Why is it that it is not having that kind of impact? Those days the sahaba kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they too used to be tested and very severely tested. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that sometimes it was as if their hearts used to come away to their throats. So severe a test they used to get. Zulzilu zilzalan shadida. But then those sahabas knew very well that this is a test, and soon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the doors of fatah and success. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the doors of victory for us. And it happened in every battle you can look at. That is what happened. That a little while of test, but after that, within days, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory. And who does not know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, during his time, the whole of Hijaz, Saudi Arabia and everything had already come under the control of the Muslims. And within a short period of time, Allah ta'ala gave them the massive empires at their feet. So what is the difference? The difference is this, that they carried out their defense or their offense, whatever it was in the light of the Quran and the Sharia, and they did not let go of following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ahkam. They were not following their nafs and their desires. They were always concerned that our Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam must not become displeased with us. So if it was their salat, then you found each and every sahabi 100%, five times salat. And together with that, their other salats also, if it was convenient, then they made those salats also. Of course, when they were engaged in jihad and other activities, then sometimes it might not have been possible for them to make ishraq and tahajjud and chasht. But the thing is that the five times salat, you will never find one sahabi. So much so that even the munafiqeen, the hypocrites in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would be found in the masjid also. Because if they did not come to the masjid, then they would have been caught out that what is the problem? You are living near the masjid, or you have got no sickness, no disease, no illness, then why are you not in the masjid? So that is a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy. So they would have been caught out. So even they used to be in the masjid. That means 100%, there was no question of even 1% not performing salat five times a day. And here if we have to look at the ummah at large, then we know what is the condition. How many percent is performing the salat with jamaat in the masjid, and how many percent is not even performing at all, not even at home. Then if we have to look at all the other departments of our life, all the other areas of our lives, then in which area can we say that we are truly and sincerely obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Then we are waiting for that nusrat and that help, and we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that why is it that we are suffering? Who does not know the answer to that? But we are not prepared to accept it, because we are the ones who are the cause of the problem. Therefore we do not want to listen to that, because we are the cause. If we have to look at our own country and look at ourselves, that after having heard of whatever has happened in the world, and after reading every day, and those who have got television, they watch every day also, the destruction that is taking place. But what change did it really bring in our own lives? Our own lives, how many of our homes we can say now we have cleaned them out of all the filth and of all the dirt? Our own lives, how many can say that now we do not gaze at those women? We do not cast haram gazes at them. We do not watch all that porn and the filth. We do not indulge in backbiting, in lies, in false oaths and qasams, in fornication, in adultery. Adultery with the eyes, adultery with the ears, adultery with the tongue. That we have now given up all these things and we have turned towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because we have watched so much of destruction of the Muslims. We have seen so much of masajid of ours destroyed. We have seen so much of homes bulldozed. We have seen so much of innocent lives lost. We have seen so much of our Muslim brothers and sisters suffering in different forms. So therefore we have made up our mind that we are going to first turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and then seek Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help and assistance. So this is also one of those areas when it comes to amanat and trust, that we have become extremely weak. We are just not concerned that we are trustees. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made us a trustee. Over every ni'mat that He gives to us, every bounty He blesses us with, we are trustees over it. It's an amanat in our hands. Now go to the casinos and go to the cinemas and go to the theatres and go and see where the money of the Muslim is spent today. Or go to their weddings and walimas and see what is happening. We are just unconcerned that we are trustees over all these amanats. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave it to us for a period of time and He's testing us. Either Allah will test us for sabr or He will test us for shukr. So besides those many things that I mentioned already with regards to amanat and promises, another area in which we are negligent when it comes to promises is the payment of our debts. Promises that we make to different people for different things, but we are very, very negligent. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, La imana liman la amanatala, wa la deena liman la ahdala. That person doesn't have iman who doesn't have the fulfillment of amanat and trust. If he betrays the trust, then he doesn't have iman in him. That means iman kamil is missing in him. And there's no deen in that person who does not fulfill his promise. Therefore, that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which I discussed in some other majlis also, in which Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that you guarantee me 6 things, then I guarantee Allah ta'ala will give you Jannat. But you can see that it is a two-way contract, that there has to be something that we have to do, then we will get Jannat. It's not just lip service, that we want Jannat, we want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat, we want His mercy, we want His forgiveness, we want everything. But we are not prepared to do anything. Now our side of the contract is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, you guarantee me 6 things. Usduqu iza haddastum. When you speak, speak the truth. That if you guarantee me that when you are going to speak, you are going to speak the truth. Second thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wa awfu iza wa'adtum. And when you make a promise, then fulfill that promise. Yes, I've mentioned many times that if a person got caught up in the traffic, or he just completely slipped up, or due to some other unforeseen circumstances, the person was unable to fulfill that promise, then it is acceptable. The person apologizes, he says that this is what had happened, I couldn't make it, or I couldn't pay you on time because of this reason or that reason, then that is acceptable. But where the person has got no intention of fulfilling that promise, for example, even another area where this fulfillment of promise comes is in the case of engagements. Recently, it has become a big joke. People become engaged 3 years, 5 years, and I've had a case of 9 years. The person was engaged and proposed for 9 years. Now, can we imagine 9 years of engagement? Are we not following the same Western culture that we are condemning? In which they live, they cohabit and they do everything and they only get married after they have 2-3 children. Are we not following that same culture? The person for 9 years is engaged. And during that period of engagement, with the blessings of the parents, the girl and the boy, they court, they meet, they go out, they do anything that, and everything that husband and wives do. And after 9 years, the person says that, I do not find her right for marriage. When they began to demand, or when she said that now get married, and when her parents also said that now the time is up, you should get married, because all this time he was making excuses of this study and that study and so many other things. Now he says that no, I find that her temperament is not right. Her mizaj is not right. I don't find her suitable for marriage partner. So he dumps her after that. Now she slashes her wrist and she takes an overdose of tablets and she does all kinds of things. So this is also a promise that the person is making, that I will get married. When he is proposing, then it is a promise that the person is making that I will get married. And we should not delay that, because these are the type of things that happen after that. I thought 1 year and 2 years we used to have this type of things, but now it's gone to 9 years. How can you have a proposal and an engagement? The person is proposed, he says engaged, for 9 years he's engaged. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So it is a promise that the person makes that I'm going to marry. Now the parents are expecting that this person is going to fulfill his promise. So then it is only permissible if some new facts have come to light, where the person got proposed and there were certain facts and certain information that he did not know, and now that it came to light, this person truly and sincerely believes that if I am going to go ahead with this marriage, then there's going to be no compatibility, there's going to be a breakdown, then it is permissible that the person informs the other party that for this valid reason I am terminating this proposal. But not just as a joke. It's not something that a person takes casual, that he just gets proposed and after 2 years then he decides that no, I'm not intending to get married. Look at the trauma that it causes. But if the girl's party was also quite happy and willing that these people should carry on living their life and enjoying themselves, then they must blame themselves for it too. Because they should have made it clear that if you are proposed, you are only proposed, she is not your wife. You have got no right to come to my house and ask me to allow you to take my daughter for a drive and to take her to the cinema and to the theater and to the beachfront or anywhere else in the world. She is my daughter who is not yet married to you. So that will at least make him get interested in getting married quickly, because he will see that now his nafs, his passions are on the high and he cannot seem to get his bride. So then he too will put some proposal quickly and he will say that let's get married, let's get married. So most of the things we are to be blamed ourselves. Nevertheless, so this is another area that is of concern, that at present it is on the increase. Brothers, I mention these things because we are dealing with cases, and let others take a lesson from what mistakes other people have made. Let us be intelligent people, that we should not first go through those kind of problems and then take a lesson. If we have heard that certain people, this is what has happened in their lives, and then it led to disaster, so then we should take a lesson. We should not wait until we ourselves experience that kind of problem. So if you have your daughters who are proposed, engaged, or your sons who are engaged, so then do not delay that marriage, because it is going to lead to zina after that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Usduqu iza haddastum, wa awfu iza wa'attum, wa addu iza utumintum. Again, which means this, that if the person has been entrusted with any kind of property or anything that he has made a trustee of, then he should not betray that trust. Whether it is a madrasa trust, masjid trust, or the person is in charge of an estate, or whatever kind of trust, or he's a father, so he's a trustee over his children. I've explained this in detail in my other talks. So whatever the person is made a trustee of, then he must not betray that trust. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, you guarantee me that you are going to do this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, وَأَوْفُوا إِذَا وَعَدْتُمْ وَأَدُّوا إِذَا أُؤْتُمِنْتُمْ وَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that the Jannat is not so cheap. Don't think that just by reading the kalima and just by doing a little bit of zikr and tilawat, or just by proclaiming that we are Muslims and lovers of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you will go away to Jannat. That Jannat, if you want a guarantee, then you promise that you are going to lower your gaze. Now this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying. Ask the ulama if it is a hadith or not. So he is saying that you must lower your gaze, then you are going to go to Jannat. Now when we purchase those movies and those video films, and when we watch the television screen, and when those beautiful ladies and women come there, then do we lower our gaze at that time? Or do we buy it so that we may see them? Now what a world of difference. Look at our actions. What we are saying with our tongues and what our action is projecting. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you must lower your gaze. From haram, lower your gaze. And I've explained this many, many times. That we must not object and we must say that how can a person lower his gaze in his business? How can he lower his gaze in his profession? There are many areas where he has to look at the around. So I've explained this, that the person must then look as if he would look if there were beautiful women on the side, but he's driving a car and he's going down a very steep hill, and there's a truck in front of him there, the truck behind him, and on the side there's a steep cliff. Now at that time, how will he drive? He will still look at those women too, but he's not going to look at her from head to toe and start admiring her. So out of necessity, if the person has to, then that is how it must be, like a fleeting glance. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, you have to do that. Now I am talking about where we are purposely purchasing those video films and those movies we are going to, and we are purposely going into the bazaars or going to the beachfront or going to other areas purposely for no other reason except to go and do some gazing there, to go and do some watching there, to go and give some pleasure to the nafs there. Now then, how can Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's guarantee, which he is giving, he says that if you guarantee me this, then I guarantee Allah will give you Jannah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ وَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ, and stay away from zina. I'm just giving you the meaning of it. That you will protect yourself, you will guard yourself from adultery, from fornication. This zina is a terrible sin in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And وَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, and hold back your hands from any kind of injustice or zulm. You promise, you guarantee that you are going to hold back your hand. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I guarantee Allah ta'ala will give you Jannat. So we can see that in so many areas of our lives, how weak we are, how much of shortcoming there is. And yet each and every group claims that Jannat is ours. Allah is pleased with us. So let us all take stock of our own selves. Make a lot of dua, because that's about all that we can really assist them with. We can only assist them with duas, and we can give them some financial aid and assistance. But how many people from here can really say that we are going to go there and stand by their side, and we are also going to take up arms against those people who are bombing? Nothing. So then what is the sense of just going on and on, wasting our time in those actions which are again vain? First find out, determine whether this action of ours will really bring about any kind of benefit, any kind of result. But first take stocks of our own lives. Otherwise, believe me that no matter how much we shout and scream, those vehicles, those trucks, the armored vehicles will still keep on rolling into those villages and into those cities, and the bombs will still keep on raining, and the torture will still continue. And Allah Ta'ala will keep those zalim rulers over us, because a'malukum ummalukum. Whatever your actions are, that's the kind of rulers Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will put over you. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the ummah is facing. And may Allah Ta'ala give us, each and every one of us, the courage and the himmat that we throw out of our lives all those sinful things, which is bringing us no peace, no happiness, nothing but regrets, anxieties, worries and restlessness. Our homes are on fire, our lives are on fire, our families are on fire. There's nothing, there's no peace, there's no happiness, there's no contentment, there's no satisfaction. You may find an exception here and there. Now to bring that back, it is not difficult also. Allah will never give us a deen that is difficult. Everything of Islam is practical, it is easy, it is something that we can accomplish. All it requires a little bit of pressure on the nafs. And then see how Allah Ta'ala in these days, because the fitnas are so rife and everywhere there's nothing but fitnas. So if a person takes just one or two steps towards Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala takes him along very, very easily and blesses him with all those promises that Allah Ta'ala has made. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.